Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's already Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so if you missed yesterday's, you can swing over there and check that one out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, you know, Dan, I was a little concerned that, you know, being the sports kind of conundrum we're in, that you and I wouldn't have really anything to talk about today, but luckily for us, the Chicago baseball teams kind of saved us.
I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised. I guess I'm surprised at the way how the deal went.
Yes, and you know what Dan is talking about is the White Sox finally traded Jose Quintana. You know, this all talk started last off season where he was going to go someplace. Well, he ended up going to the Cubs. And in exchange, the White Sox got four minor leaguers. You can't use the term prospects with all of them, so they are all minor leaguers. The two big-time prospects they got is they got outfielder Eloy Jimenez, who was number five ranked by the dude who does it for the Mickey Mouse Network. I think it's Keith Law. They got the Cubs' number one pitching prospect in Dylan Cease. They also picked up a couple guys who were playing in, I think it's Double A right now, or it might even be High Class A. Matt Rose, who's a first baseman, and Brian Fleet, who is a second baseman. What's actually humorous, Jimenez, Rose, and Fleet are all on the same team, Dan. They're actually playing the White Sox farm system. So all they have to do is walk across the field and change dugouts for the game.
Hey, maybe that's why they waited.
So, but yeah, you know, Rose is he's shown power this year as a first baseman. I think he's got 14 home runs already. Fleet is a 24-year-old second baseman who's in High Class A, is where I think they're on. Well, Myrtle Beach is High Class A, right, for the Cubs?
Yeah.
So they're Jimenez, Rose, and Fleet are all at High Class A right now. So Fleet, I don't think you can call him a prospect. You know, Rose is borderline. You know, if his power continues to develop, yeah, he could be something. Cease and Jimenez are legitimate major league prospects. But you know, you got to give to get. I've heard positives and negatives from both sides of this deal. Schomburg Stu emailed me to tell me how the Cubs got ripped off because Quintana hasn't had a very good year. Where do you stand as a Cubs fan here?
Does he forget that he's a younger? Well, I mean, he's under 30, and we've got him till what was it 2020? So I mean, he underperformed, but he's also on a team that's not designed to win. And while they started off kind of hot, they definitely dwindled down to becoming a losing team.
Yeah, now, you know, the acquisition of Quintana, now see, I love this deal. I think this is one of those deals that works for both teams, and I'll start with the Cubs side of it, obviously. They needed a starter. John Lackey has struggled. That number five spot is just a gaping hole. Kyle Hendricks comes back this weekend, so hopefully he's healthy enough to do something. Quintana's 28 with 3 years of control. What this allows the Cubs to actually do, if they decide they don't want to pay Jake Arrieta $20 or $25 million or whatever he's going to get for next off season. Now they don't have to. So, you know, I think that puts them in a fantastic position. You know, and I mean, you can talk about Quintana's ERA being up, but if you look across Major League Baseball with this new ball, everybody's ERA's up unless your name is Kershaw, Scherzer, or Sale. So, you know, you can't complain. I know they were talking, I had actually heard Don Cooper on months ago, and he mentioned that all of a sudden with this new baseball, Quintana has developed a cut, you know, like a cutter that he's never had before. But the problem was it was cutting back over the plate into the hitting zone. So they had to work on dealing with that with the new baseball. And then when he was trying to adjust, he screwed up his mechanics, which, of course, you know, is major for pitchers. He's been better his last couple starts. And I think being on a team that, you know, let's face it, if they hit like they should, you know, a team that's going to score runs from it, I think is going to be a huge positive for this guy. I don't understand, you know, why it was looked at as a you know, somebody would look at it as a ripoff.
Well, the only way I would look at it as a ripoff would be on the White Sox side, and that's only because of what they got for Adam Eaton. But the other two positives that I really see, you know, they ended up actually technically saving money because next year they only have to pay him $850,000, and then the next 2 years are options. So I mean, the options are $1 million each, which I highly doubt they'll let go buy them out. I mean, you know, you're looking at 10.5 and an 11.5. So 22, you know, you're looking at roughly $23 million over the next 3 years, which I think Jake is going to be wanting for one season, you know, somewhere in that realm. So I think it saves them a lot of money. And then, not only that, you've got a guy who actually pitches 200 innings a season and has averaged so since 2013.
And a guy who, hasn't had arm trouble, goes out and makes his starts, you know, logs innings, and this bullpen needs to be saved. This bullpen is desperately overworked. He was far and away the top starting pitcher on the market, and I think what a lot of people may be missing or may not even know, the Brewers were very interested in acquiring Quintana. And they had kind of had some preliminary talks with the White Sox that were, you know, reported here. Now, you know, the Cubs are chasing the Brewers. So not only did you get yourself a top of the rotation starter, you kept him away from the team that's in front of you. So, you know, and I mean, yeah, you know, Quintana was being very, you know, becoming a popular guy. You know, the Twins were interested. You know, Rick Hahn had even mentioned he had fielded calls from teams that weren't even in the pennant race because Quintana has so many controllable years left that he was that popular. And, you know, this is what you've got to get a starting pitcher. I mean, you've seen what these guys make on the market. You know, I mean, if you, you know, again, it was one of those deals where you thought if you were just going to pack up, you know, Tommy La Stella and, you know, Alberto Almora, and they were going to go, oh yeah, here, have Jose Quintana. Well, you know, obviously you're a moron. So, you know, it doesn't work like that. And, you know, did they give up a lot? Yeah. You know, and maybe down the road, we'll look back and go, you know, that trade didn't really work out. But right now, which is what the Cubs are playing for, it's the deal they had to make.
Yeah, well, and I look at it this way too, you know, and we'll get to the benefits for the White Sox. number one, there's really no place for Eloy Jimenez to play. And with Melky Cabrera's contract coming up at this end of the season, that means I wouldn't say he's guaranteed a spot, but I'd be very surprised if he wasn't playing on that major league roster next year. I'd be very surprised. And I mean, we talked about it before. The Cubs haven't been great, or I wouldn't say the Cubs. Field regime hasn't been that great with drafting and developing pitching. So you've got a guy in the minor leagues. We don't know how it's going to turn out. So at this point, you've got a guy that's movable and you're able to get a guy who actually is major league ready, Quintana, to pitch today, or, you know, when his next scheduled start is. I don't know. It would be kind of cool if it was Friday, but, you know, we'll see how that works out. You know, and that's, you know, Cease, I wonder if he would be available. I doubt he'd be available next year, but you've got a guy who's ready and can, you know what he can do. And like I said, Cease might be up in 19, you know, maybe for the White Sox, he'll be up next year, who knows. But you'll have a guy already. So I think this is a quality move on the Cubs side. And I still think Amora has value. Schwarber, hopefully he can get that bat up, will have add value. And Baez, I mean, we don't know if these three are going to be guys that are going to stay on this team. So you were able to move Sex or minor leaguers without losing your major league ready guys who, you know, if I think if the Cubs went that route, they'd be able to move one of these three for something good next season. Already, you know, at the end of the year.
Yeah, now, you know, yeah, and, you know, to be fair, you know, the White Sox didn't want major league ready players. This is exactly what they wanted. You know, if you would have had to deal with somebody else, you know, depending on what other pitchers were out there, you know, they may have wanted, you know, there was talk of Kyle Schwarber going to Detroit for Michael Fulmer. You know, that's where you would need the major league ready guy, because Detroit would want a major league ready guy in return, you know, or a major league player in return. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, they're talking about the Cubs aren't done, so maybe we'll see another, you know, another move that involves one of those guys, you know, that are actually on the roster now. I did hear everybody seems to be reporting or under the impression that Javier Baez is untouchable. So, you know, maybe one of the other guys go, you know, if it's an Almora or a Schwarber, but, you know, they're talking about bullpen help. And I just couldn't see dumping Schwarber for bullpen help, you know, especially if you're just getting a setup guy in return. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of work that out, or, you know, who gets what. But, you know, like you mentioned, you know, Jimenez being blocked, you know, Matt Rose is a first baseman. Even if he develops, where are you playing him? You know, so it's like, I mean, okay, get upset that, you know, you got rid of these guys, but, you know, and Jimenez is strictly a corner outfielder. He can't play center. So, you know, does he replace Schwarber? And Jason Hayward is signed for how many more years? You're not giving him that spot.
Nope.
So, you know, again, where were you playing him? You know, it's just kind of one of those things. And, you know, as much as, you know, you hate to say it, or, you know, you hate to think it, I guess, more than say it, these are the reasons the Cubs drafted these guys. There's a reason the Cubs didn't draft a ton of pitchers. All right, they willingly admit, and even Jed Hoyer said on the radio today, they've had no luck developing pitching. So they go after hitting, and they turn hitting into pitching. So that's, you know, that's exactly what they did today. They took three hitters and their best pitching prospect, who, by the way, has already had a Tommy John surgery, so you got that going, and they turned it into a major league ready top of the rotation starter. You know, maybe he's not an ace, maybe he's not a number one, but he's definitely a number two.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was a little baffled that there were Cub fans that just weren't ecstatic about this. And, you know, because I know people have talked, well, you know, they need to add a bat. You know, the problem with adding a bat is, where are you adding it? You know, they can't find playing time for the guys they got on the roster now. You know, like somebody said, you know, one of the baseball insiders, that apparently the Cubs are very interested in Alex Avila. Okay, so we bring Alex Avila in and he catches once a week to give Wilson Contreras a day off. You know, I mean, he's not going to supplant Contreras as the number one. Contreras is much more talented and needs the time to develop. So, you know, that's great. You know, let's fix what's broke. You know, they needed a starter, and now they got to find some bullpen help. You know, hell, in reality, they could probably use another starter if they could find somebody to give them one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They still have tradable prospects. I mean, there's no spot for Candelaria. You know, he's never going to beat Chris Bryant out at third base. You know, if you can find something there that they're willing to give you, he could easily be moved. So, and you know what I really find funny about all this yesterday, Dan, is I heard our friends on the local radio station here talking about how it might not be a bad idea for the Cubs to strip down and try to move Jake Arrieta and move Wade Davis and kind of do a quick rebuild on the fly and get ready for 2018. And now today they're all jumping out of their seats talking about what a fantastic thing this is, and you know, they're back to contending and, you know, all this stuff. I'm like, wait a minute. Yesterday you guys were throwing them overboard, you know, and now today you're, yeah, okay. So, it's like, oh, well, I guess you need stuff to talk about.
Yeah, but I don't know. I wouldn't move Davis. I think you can still re-sign him in the offseason. And you're only in second place.
Well, you know, they're
in the five spot.
Yeah, you know, as great as it sounds, you know, okay, great, we're going to move Wade Davis. Who do you trust in that bullpen blows? You know what I mean? I mean, who's that guy? You know, I mean, you know, Hector Rondon has kind of proven that he can't do the job anymore. We've seen Strope try and fail. You know, I think eventually Carl Edwards Jr. can become that guy. I don't think he's ready to do it now, though.
No.
So, you know, that could, you know, I mean, basically you would be leading yourself down the Washington Nationals path of, you know, hoping you could get games closed. So, yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense. And, I mean, you know, you're also dealing a guy who's on a one-year contract. You're not going to get a ton for him. So, no contender is going to come running to you saying, oh, yeah, that's right, we need a closer. Like, I hear the Dodgers are in the market for a second closer to become a setup man. But, you know, I mean, they're not going to come running to you, go, oh, yeah, hey, here's our top prospect. Give us Wade Davis. Not for half a season. It doesn't work like that.
But why not? But I think you're ready to move on to the other side of the equation and the benefits to the White Sox.
Yeah, well, you know, the White Sox side, you know, they now have 9 of the top 100 ranked prospects. So,
oh, when you put it like,
you know, yeah,
9%. I guess.
Yeah, you know, but it's a huge margin over, you know, what anybody else has.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, in reality, they actually have 9 of the top 68 because their last guy is ranked at 68. So it would be a little better percentage than that. Not a ton, but a little bit. You know, and most teams are lucky. You know, if you get 2 or 3 in there, you're lucky. So you know they're really on track. You know, like, I know you and I were amazed at the haul they got for Adam Eaton. And I know that, you know, the Nationals have soured on Lucas Giolito. He struck out 12 in his last start for the White Sox in the minors. He's got a no-hitter this year as well. You know, so, you know, we'll see. I mean, they develop pitchers, you know, a little better than the Cubs do. And, you know, they've had pretty good luck with their guys, so we'll see if Dylan Cease fits in and how they handle him. You know, he's another guy who throws 100 miles an hour. And, you know, I'll be interested to see who they bring up to fill Quintana's rotation spot, because somebody's going to have to come up and, you know, plug that hole one way or the other. But, yeah, you know, you mentioned Jimenez. You know, there's going to be openings. You know, Melky, you know, I won't be surprised the way Melky's played if he's actually a White Sox by the end of the year. I would assume, you know, some team looking for a fourth outfielder or a bench guy is going to come call in and, you know, ship Melky off for, you know, probably a what would be a lower level prospect or a, you know, a middle of the road type of prospect. So yeah, you know, there's going to be openings. You know, I know the Red Sox just cut Johnny Peralta. They were hoping he'd be their answer at third base. You got to wonder how much longer they'll wait before they come calling for Todd Frazier. So, you know, this could be the, you know, this could, yeah, you know, I mean, this could be a big start of, you know, really having guys to move. So, you know, that, you know, obviously they're, you know, I think the minute Frazier gets moved, that's when Moncada comes up. You know, I think that's all they're waiting for. I don't think they want to plug him in at second and then have to move him to third. So, you know, we'll see here. I mean, we got 18 days till the non-waiver trade deadline comes to an end. It looks like a really, you know, it's always kind of weird to say, but it looks like a really good move for both teams. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll have to wait how the prospects shake out, but yeah, it just kind of, you know, I think it was more of just a surprise for me than anything.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I guess I wasn't overly surprised by the trade. I mean, with the fact that it was a Cubs Sox trade, you know, nobody wants any bad deals on either end. But you remember they made the Sammy George Bell, so they have made trades in the past. But,
yeah.
You know, this is a business, and it doesn't matter that, you know, it's, even though they say it's not so many miles, it's about an hour in between, you know, from the north to the south to get from park to park. But it doesn't, it's not necessarily a hate relationship. It's, you know, would this work on my end and your end? And it worked out for both ends. So that's how the deal was made. And I don't think
it was kind of funny.
A better way to do it for both teams.
Yeah, well, it was kind of funny today. You know, they had Rick Hahn on first, and he broached the subject of, you know, people saying that the Cubs and the White Sox would refuse to trade with each other. And he made your point exactly. He said, you know, why would we take less in a deal with another team when the Cubs were offering us the best package of players for Quintana? You know, I mean, I don't think he could have summed it up any better. I mean, it would have been, you know, like I had heard the Brewers were offering one of their top prospects and then, you know, just some, you know, some lower level guys, where from the Cubs, they got two guys, you know, Jimenez is a top five prospect. So that makes it even more attractive. So, you know, why would you walk away from it? You know, like you said, it would be stupid to take less because you think there's some hatred there.
Yeah.
So, you know, he really kind of capped that off.
Well, and I think Cease and Jimenez really fit what they're trying to do. And then you had the two other guys in, and, you know, that's definitely for your, you know, you're not looking to get these two kids up for maybe two more years. Or you're able to move one of them. Along with somebody else, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, like you said, you figure Jimenez probably has a chance to make the team next year. Cease mm-hmm. is probably a couple years away. Rose, you know, maybe down the road somewhere, if he stays with the team and he continues to develop, maybe we see him in 4 or 5 years. You know, but again, at 24, you know, Fleet is, you know, I mean, he's a Class A prospect at 24. You're kind of at the end of your rope there. You know, who knows? Maybe over the off season, or maybe the change of scenery. Who knows? Maybe he'll, you know, end up being a utility guy at the end of the bench someday. But yeah, you know, I mean, nothing wrong with it. But yeah, it just so happened it was the first trade since 2006. And that was, here you go, Daniel. I'm sure you remember all these guys. The White Sox sent Neil Kotz to the Cubs, and in return, they got David Ardsma and Carlos Vasquez. So, It just been a while since the teams had traded with each other, but you know, I mean, I'm sure you could go through that with every team. You know, does team A hate team B because they've never made a trade? No, the players just haven't worked out. So you know, it just how it goes. And I did look, and the Cubs have Mike Montgomery scheduled to start tomorrow. So
yeah, I don't think that'll change.
In other quick White Sox news, their reliever Nate Jones is going to have season-ending surgery, and the only way you can put this is again. I think he missed 2015. It might have been, or 2014, because of surgery. Now he's having another one. You know, one time this guy was looked at a future closer in this organization. It's just, you know, more and more you got to wonder if he'll just even contribute at all. I actually picked him, I think, in the Snake League with my last draft, my last pick, because I figured they would trade Robertson and he would step into the closer role. Needless to say, he got hurt right away and I ended up dropping him, and, you know, just kind of how that worked out. So yeah, a couple moves for the White Sox there. I haven't seen who they brought up. You know, maybe we'll find out tomorrow, you know, who the call-ups are going to be, not only who goes into the rotation, but, you know, well, I'm sure somebody is already up for Jones. He's been on the DL since, I think, May. So
I forgot about that guy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's weird because, like I said, I mean, he was groomed to be their closer, and you know, it looked like, you know, things were going well, and I think he may have actually had a year where he served as the main closer for half a year or something. It just never went the guy's way. It's just been, you know, injury after injury here. Let me see what I can find on him. He missed all of 20, he actually pitched two games in 2014 before he went out for the season. 19 in 2015, but when he's healthy, he pitches. 71 games last year, and then 70 in 2013. So, he takes the ball, but, you know, it just can't stay healthy enough to do it. So, you know, you have to wonder if he can bounce back. Can he bounce back from this one more time? So,
yeah,
we'll see. Yeah, it was funny because I was sitting here and this morning, and I got, my phone went off. It was a text. I thought, oh, okay. You know, what's going on here? And it's Mr. Fantasy. And all the text says is, well, at least you and Dan have something to talk about today.
We have something to talk about every day.
Yeah, you know, we always find fun stuff to talk about. Now, do you think, you know, will there be, I guess you would call them reactive moves from other contenders? Do you see a, you know, I mean, we know Milwaukee's on the look for a starting pitcher, but do you see, you know, maybe Washington pick up the pace to fix that bullpen, or, you know, possibly Arizona or Colorado going out to try to fill their needs now that, you know, the Cubs appear to be, you know, very willing to make moves?
I don't really think, like, the Rockies or even Washington. I mean, they should, but I don't think that's on their radar. I think if it's anybody, it's really Milwaukee trying to do what they can to keep up the pace.
Sooner or later, Washington has to address that. I was saying, don't you think Washington sooner or later has to address that bullpen issue?
Well, I think that's been a given. So I don't think it's a matter of reacting to what the Cubs have done as more as addressing an issue that has been there.
What,
you know,
what are they waiting for anyway?
I don't know. It's not the Cubs that are going to speed it up. It's not the Cubs trade that happened to speed it up. You know, they all know when the deadline is for, you know, non-waivers. So, I mean, I really don't know much about the front office. So who knows what they're waiting for? You should tweet somebody.
Yeah, and ask them what they're waiting for?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just kind of...
I mean, but like you said, the Cubs only addressed one issue. So I don't think if there's an urgency for other teams aside from Milwaukee, especially with the fact that that was the guy they were looking to go after.
Yeah, that, you know, that was, you know, one of the, you know, just the kind of the way it works. You know, you got to move, you know, you got to move quick when you're, you know, you're making these things. And you know, you got to give Rick Hahn a lot of credit here. You know, he went out and made a really, really good deal. And, you know, overall in this, you know, call it a rebuild, call it what you want, he's done a nice job of stocking what was considered a really poor farm system. So.
Yeah, but I mean, not only that, I think it puts them in a positive direction. And it's amazing how much different it is now that he has the reins. And it's amazing how quickly this was all turned around within a matter of a season.
Yeah, well, you know, you wonder if maybe it was just, you know, a philosophical difference or how it worked out. Because, you know, their concern always was, you know, anytime they talked to Kenny Williams about this, he was worried about attendance. Well, as you go through and somebody actually did this research, while their attendance is down this year, as of right now, it's only down 500 people per game. So that's not bad considering. I mean, we'll see how the second half goes, because now, you know, it's really going to be, you know, there's no Quintana, so it's, you know, it could drop a little more, but, it may only be for this year as they, you know, they start to turn the team around. But, yeah, you just wonder if, you know, Kenny was just that guy who always wanted to try to contend no matter what, where, you know, Hahn is kind of like, hey, you know, let's kind of tear this up and, you know, get it back together. So maybe it was just two guys with different ideology.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of blatantly obvious because they were in a half-ass rebuild with Kenny kind of controlling everything, and Rick Hahn came out before and, you know, the offseason and said, if I'm not controlling it, then that's it. You know, I don't know if he was quitting his job or he was going to sit back and not do anything and probably not make any of the phone calls or, you know, press conferences or radio spots. And I'm sure Kenny wouldn't have had an issue with that. But, you know, like I said, since Rick Hahn's taken over, taking complete control, I mean, look at, like you said, they have 9 of the top 68 prospects. And look, you know, 8 of them came from Chicago, or 8. He got 8 people for the minor league from Chicago and Washington. Yoan Moncada from Boston. I don't remember if there was someone else involved in that. But look how quickly, like you said, they changed the farm system around and kind of gave Sox fans something exciting to look at, as opposed to drafting, you know, a random international player here and there and a guy, you know, an over-the-hill former star. I think it gives you a lot to look at. And as far as the attendance goes, I mean, let's be honest, Big Jack. It's the summer, and with the weather we have is going to make the games to draw better. I think the weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, will still draw really good, especially with the promotions they run for parking. And that's what it comes down to, too. You've got to have promotions to get people to go there. That'll help out. And, I mean, but let's be honest, September, you're going to have a bad team. Kids will be back in school. So I don't think they're going to do so well in September, but, you know, that's when the dip starts to happen.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, you kind of, you know, you expect that, you know, that drop off a little bit. And, you know, hopefully it just won't be a, you know, a long-term drop off. It'll be something that, you know, and you got to think once the, you know, once they actually decide to bring some of these guys up, you know, the fans will probably come back and want to see these guys play.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not, you know, not like a complete lost cause or anything like that. So, but yeah, I thought that was kind of humorous that somebody actually took the time to do the research and realized we were only talking about 500 people in attendance. So.
Yeah. Well, not only that, I mean, if you still want to go to a game now and you want to buy your ticket in advance and sit behind home plate, you're not getting a cheap ticket. So, it's, you know, I still can't do it. You know, if I could sit behind home plate and spend $30 a ticket for my wife and I, hell yeah, I'd go. But when you're still talking $60+ a ticket or more, I'm not going.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, sadly, that's just kind of, you know, the going rate now, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Tickets are just kind of, you know, kind of nuts, but, you know, it makes the start of the second half quite interesting, you know, with this happening
mm-hmm.
right away and, you know, the object of possibly, you know, more moves coming out. So,
All right. But now I've been dying to know your thoughts on what you've seen for this August fight between McGregor and Mayweather. You know, they've been doing the world tour, which, I mean, personally, I think is absolutely ridiculous. I know about the fight. I'm not going to buy it. And like I told you, and they'll be doing the same too that night if you're still awake, trying to find someone Facebook Live in it. Or, you know, Facebook in it, whatever you want to call it, to catch the fight. But I'll watch the recap the next day or, you know, try to find someone who has a Showtime account and get their password so I can watch it a week later on replay. But, or on demand, whatever you want to call it. You know, most likely, unless it's free, I'm not going to watch this fight. But I still think they're going to get the buy rates up, and that's what this tour is all about. And everybody is just jumping on the McGregor bandwagon and thinking that he's a big shot, he's a big deal because he can stand on stage, swear, and, you know, call Mayweather some very derogatory names, you know, without getting racial, which I think is a positive. And they just think that because he can do that, that he's this great fighter and he's going to beat Mayweather. And I mean, you and I both know it's true. Whether Mayweather wins or loses,
yeah.
You know, I mean, he's promoting the fight. I want to know what you're thinking, but I think he's smart as hell. He's sitting there letting McGregor do all this talking, knowing that he's going into the fight not as the underdog, and I haven't looked at Vegas, but in the eyes of the fan, he's kind of going in as the villain for everyone who's going to want to see it. Is going to pay for it, is going to pay to see him lose to McGregor. And that's why he's letting him do whatever, you know, say whatever he wants. And I still think 12 rounds later, with it, you know, a unanimous decision, whichever way it goes, all the crap that McGregor's talking, he is going to do what every single other fighter has done when they fought Mayweather, and that is shake his hand and give him a hug and say thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, I just can't figure out.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, know, I keep thinking over and over about this, and I can't figure out why anybody would spend the, basically it's $100, $99.95, why you would buy this fight.
To see Mayweather lose.
Right. If you have any relative boxing knowledge, I mean, I guess, you know what, you don't want to be the guy who says, you don't want to be the guy who doesn't buy the fight and Mayweather happens to lose. So that's your reason for blowing the $100. I mean, send your $100 to me if you don't want to,
That's exactly my point is, Mayweather's sitting back and, I saw he had, he did his, little talk on the mic. I didn't really listen to it. I listened to about a minute of McGregor and, it was a 5-minute thing. And, within a minute and a half, 2 minutes, he just basically said the same crap over and over again. It's his first day being on a worldwide platform. I know UFC gets a huge draw, but this isn't the same. And, at the end of the day, what Mayweather's doing and how he's promoting it is exactly why I think he is one of the smartest promoters. It's because he's in the fight. He's promoting the fight. He's going to make a lot of the money. McGregor's not going to make as much as he could because of his ties with UFC. And that's another reason why, I hate to knock you guys and I hate to break your dreams. The whole full Mayweather was take up. He's not taking up UFC. He's twice the kid's age, and not only that, the UFC and Dana White would try to take all the money. And Mayweather's not money Mayweather for no reason. So, and like you said, you can't figure out why they're buying it, but Mayweather's doing exactly what he needs to do to make people want to buy it. And it's all these people that are just kind of jumping on a thing to see him lose. And I think it's hilarious that you can't get past your own emotions, your raw animal emotion, and realize what's going on. And I think part of that is because you and I wrestle. We know what it is to promote. We know what it is to sell. I mean, do you kind of agree with that?
Oh, yeah. That's all anybody's doing here. McGregor cut a very classic heel wrestling promo yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago. He got I'm sure they're teaching him as he goes, but, obviously being from Ireland where the language is a little different, he did call Mayweather boy, which can be looked at as a racial slur by some African Americans. So, he's got to be careful, with that kind of stuff as you move along, because you don't want to offend a large group of people and then start losing buys. But yeah, I mean, that's all we're looking at. I mean, in all these press conferences are going to be is they're going to be wrestling promos to draw attention. And that's what they have to be. Mayweather gets on the mic and he does his shtick, and then McGregor gets to do his shtick, and it's nothing different than any classic wrestling, if you're a wrestling fan, that you've seen.
Yeah, I mean, I just take away from it that Mayweather doesn't have to do anything. He could just sit there and really not say anything. And I think the people who root for Mayweather aren't going to change their mind. And I still don't think McGregor's going to win. I don't care what anyone thinks. You and I have talked about this a million times before. UFC fighters, MMA fighters are trained to fight 3 5-minute rounds, not 12 3-minute rounds. It's not the same. You can go in Iceland and do all your training what you want. Not the same.
I think if he was fighting anybody else, this is McGregor I'm talking about here, he would have, what they call a puncher's chance. But, McGregor is one of, if not the best defensive fighters in boxing history. So I honor Mayweather, I should say. I think I said McGregor, but you know, I'm not even sold to the fact that you know, McGregor's gonna land a punch. You know, I mean, if Mayweather just decides to, you know, dance and float and circle and, you know, counter for 12 rounds, there's a chance that McGregor doesn't even, you know, get anything landed. I've got a feeling that the fight's going to get really cheap and it's going to get really dirty. And, you know, that's the only chance McGregor has. He's going to have to kind of, you know, be the bull in the china shop and find a way to corner him and see if he can land there. But otherwise, you know, I mean, if they're toe to toe, I mean, Mayweather's just going to dance away. He's got the footwork. He, you know, he's been doing it for how long?
Forever.
I mean, yeah.
And not only so, that, it's not like UFC, you know, and everyone forgets, it's not like UFC where you just, there's points to get judged. You know, you have to win all the rounds. And I mean, I really honestly only give Mayweather, McGregor 3 rounds.
Oh, I honestly don't even know if I'd give him that. You know, I mean, there's a really good chance he could get completely shut out. You know, I probably wouldn't give him more than a round. You know, I just don't, you know, unless the only other way that would change is if Mayweather decides to engage. You know, if Floyd decides, okay, this guy can't hurt me, you know, I think I can knock him out, and he goes after that. That's honestly the only way I think McGregor's really got a shot at landing punches. You know, otherwise it's just going to kind of be Floyd on his bike, just, yeah, okay, I'll duck in, throw this punch, duck out. You know, I'll go this way now, I'll go that way, here we go, this guy can't touch me. So, you know, and I mean, he'll want to give the crowd their money's worth. So, you know, he'll put on a show. But I don't think it's going to be, you know, he's not going to risk anything to where he could get, you know, he could get touched or knocked out or anything like that. It's never going to be close enough. So.
Oh, and that's right. I have a few friends that I've seen on Facebook, and oh, McGregor's going to knock him out. And if this were, you know, if Mayweather were to come over, you know, you need to get out of your fantasy land and realize what is going to happen, what's not going to happen. It would never happen, a Mayweather McGregor UFC style fight. It would never happen.
No, that's why we're doing a boxing match, because it's not going to happen the other way. Well, do me a favor, will you? When you see those friends post on Facebook, tell them I'm willing to bet them money that Mayweather wins the fight. You know, if they're that confident that McGregor's going to knock him out, tell them I am willing to bet money with them on Mayweather. So, you know, well, whatever they want to do. So, but I wanted to run this. No, go ahead.
Well, do you think part of that is also a lot of this younger generation? And technically, I should be somewhat into that generation, but do you think because they didn't really grow up watching boxing that they just don't understand?
You know, I think it might be more the hatred for Mayweather, you know, because obviously he's not a well-liked guy, yeah. You know, and like I know, as weird as this sounds, years ago, I used to deliver pizza, and the kitchen staff was entirely, you know, from Mexico. Legitimately, they had all came across. They had a system where they had one Visa ID, and one guy would come through and then mail it back to the next guy. And it was pretty hilarious listening to them describe to me how they did this. And they were all named Sanchez. They all worked in the kitchen at this restaurant I worked at. And I don't know what the reason was behind it, but they hated Oscar De La Hoya. So every time De La Hoya fought, they would, right. Well, yeah, because I guess he's half breed or whatever they would describe him as. But every time De La Hoya fought, they would want to bet me. So I cleaned up on De La Hoya for a little while, just out of their strict hatred for the guy. So, you know, I mean, it just kind of worked out that way. And I mean, I understand, you know, that's how they were. And, you know, it's a legitimate story. I just thought it was hilarious. So you can probably do the same awesome. Thing here if you find guys who hate Mayweather enough, you know. So,
yeah.
But something I want to tease a little here for tomorrow. I think I need you to look into this because I think you could probably understand or possibly find out a little more about it. But I don't know if you saw this announcement today, but just kind of abruptly, I got an email from FanDuel, I'm sure you probably did, saying that the merger with DraftKings is off.
I know.
They didn't really go into any explanation, and I don't want to try to shuffle it out here with a short time frame because I have a conspiracy issue that I need to discuss with you here at the end of the show. But if you have the opportunity tonight, I don't know what you got going on. You know, can you see if you can find some information and maybe we can work in a few minutes tomorrow? Or do you know anything now? Did you look into anything?
I didn't really look into it, but just from reading the email, I mean, okay, they decided that it would be better, blah, 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 to not go along with it, even though it's a great idea because of blah, blah, blah. I actually deleted the email because I don't think you could reply to that email. So I really wanted to say you decided not to go along with it because the Federal Trade Commission kind of more or less would deem it as a monopoly. So they wouldn't allow it to happen. So you didn't really decide not to do it. You were basically told you couldn't do it, even though they weren't told they couldn't do it. It was actually suspended because it would be considered, basically, if they went any further and tried to pursue it, it would be considered a monopoly of the industry. And then the Federal Trade Commission would come in and just divvy it up. So... But I'll look more into it just to see what I can find. But, I mean, that's basically the bottom line on it. Federal Trade Commission wasn't going to allow it to happen. So they just backpedaled on what they said without, you know, putting the blame on the FTC, which I would have just said flat out, hey, the FTC said we couldn't do it, so we're not doing it.
All right, I'll have to remember to ask you tomorrow and see if we can – we can get a little, yeah, because it was just weird, you know. I saw the FanDuel thing and I thought, okay, you know, they want to remind me baseball's back or whatever, so they can get my money tomorrow. And you know, I know there's a couple free rolls out there that you can get in for baseball, so you know, that's probably all it is. And then I open it up, and yeah, the first line is, you know, the merger's off. I'm like, wait, what the hell's going on? Yeah. You know, so
I was hoping it was a free Friday. You know, baseball's back. You get a free one Friday.
Well, there are actually two for Friday. So, yeah, make sure you go in and look because there's actually two free rolls tomorrow. So, but, yeah, you know, now I had a – well, you know, just something right up your line, Dan, because I just think this is a huge conspiracy here from last night. And maybe it's not huge because of what it was, but, you know, the only, I don't know, with the exception of the AAA All-Star game, the only relative pseudo sporting thing going on was, you know, ESPN had the ESPYs. So they, you know, they were televised and all that fun stuff. Now, you know, the only award I was interested in was the very last one they were handing out, which was Team of the Year. Now, you know, they went through all the nominees and, you know, yeah, no, it was, you know, the teams, you know, that win. It's the Warriors, the Penguins, the Cubs, and then they added the South Carolina women's basketball team, which won the NCAA title, and then the American women's gymnasts team. So now after looking at all these nominees, now, you know, I honestly thought the Cubs were going to win because I figured – 108 years of futility, you know, they're going to reward them here. But as, you know, as things went on, I realized that, you know, in reality, it was probably the women's gymnastics team that was the most deserving out of any of the nominees. You know, and then obviously the South Carolina women's basketball team accomplished a huge feat by winning a championship that basically everybody had just given to, had given to Connecticut. So that was a huge thing. And then, the Penguins, of course, they repeated. And, they had Sam Jackson give out the award, and he was rooting against somebody. He didn't say who it was, but while he was opening the envelope, he kept saying, "Don't let it be them, don't let it be them." And then he went, "Oh, good, it's not them." So I assume he was probably rooting against the Cubs. So they announced the award, and the winner is the Golden State Warriors. Probably the least likely team deserving to win the award. So I start thinking about this, and then I realize that, well, it's the Mickey Mouse Network show. It's on the major ABC Mickey Mouse Network. The Mickey Mouse Network spends all their money on what league, Dan?
The NBA.
There you go. So in a category where they shouldn't have won, they win, and they get the big final send-off on the show with the Warriors on stage, because now we can promote the NBA. So I was just kind of sitting there thinking, and this was the only part of the show I watched, so I don't know what the heck else went on or who else won what, but I was just like, dude, this was just a complete scam. And I know there's supposed to be fan voting, but I can guarantee you that there was absolutely no fan voting involved in that team of the year thing. They had decided that they were going to give it to the NBA team because that's where their money is. And I was just kind of like, wait a minute, where's Dan when I got this conspiracy thing going on?
Well, and who won it last year?
The Cavaliers.
Yep. I mean, conspiracy or not, pretty damn close.
And I know, like, Russell, I did see one of the articles, Russell Westbrook won best male athlete. I mean, I had no problem with that. He had a fantastic season. So, that's no big deal. But, yeah, it was just the fact that, looking at who they were against, and while they had a great season, and, yeah, they won a championship like anybody else, well, you didn't repeat like the Penguins did. Nope. You didn't break 108-year jinx. The mm-hmm. The female gymnastics team set a record for gold medals, won. And then again, the South Carolina women's team had no business winning what they won. They were, a huge upset. So realistically, they were probably fifth. If you were ranking all five teams, they probably came in fifth. But yeah, the minute they announced it, I just kind of started thinking about it. And I'm like, well, I think I actually ripped off. But yeah, it was just like, that was just a complete scam last night.
Your show.
I was just like, man, I'm glad I didn't sit. But yeah, that's what I started thinking. It's like their show, their network, their money, all their money is pumped into the NBA. So, that's kind of what we get. But I was like, man, this is just ridiculous. And then I felt bad. That's just me. Oh, all right. The music means Dan and I are going to take off. We're back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do this all again. Hopefully we'll have some more FanDuel DraftKings information for you. We'll see how that goes. Otherwise, while we're gone, get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out what's going on there. Follow the link to the Facebook page. Jump on and give that a like if you get a chance, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. We love getting hunted down by listeners. It's fantastic. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can get this podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com.